Hey, Sound Opinions listeners, if you support us on Patreon, you get to listen to our podcast ad-free on Patreon.
Who took the bomb?
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and this week we share our best albums, or at least our favorites, of 2023. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kot. We'll also hear selections from our production staff. Let's get to it.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Yes, Greg, it is that time once again, our favorite show of the year. We both listen to so much music nonstop all year. We talk about only a fraction of it on the show and on our bonus podcasts. I could keep the list going all year long so as not to lose track. I know you do something similar.
Absolutely. And the favorites is the key word, you know. You can't possibly say best because 5 million records get released every year.
Yeah.
We haven't listened to every one of those. But these are the records that we listen to the most and we enjoy the most.
Absolutely. So I get to lead us off. We're going to have our entire top 20s on soundopinions.org on the website. I am starting at number 9 with Time's Arrow by Ladytron. Weird thing happened to Ladytron not all that long ago. A 21-year-old song named 17 became a viral hit on TikTok.
Yeah.
And, you know, here was a new album from Ladytron as well. This group, essentially a duo started by a pair of producers and DJs centered around vocalist keyboardists Helen Marnie and Mira Arroyo, originally from Scotland. Marnie was working on a BA at the University of Liverpool, where she met Arroyo, a Bulgarian postgraduate research geneticist. Two very accomplished women. I make no apologies. I am a sucker. I have a couple of guilty pleasures. In fact, number 10 was The Hives, The Death of Randy Fitzsimmons, right? Just, you know, are they reinventing the wheel? No. Do I love every second, every note on these two albums? Yes. Ladytron has that thing I just adore. The wonderful analog synthesizer pop. So cool and mechanical and precise and just sucks you in. And then the two women's vocals, Helen and Mira, can be robotic, but they can also be warm. That cool, warm contrast. I just love it to pieces. And, you know, I think they're up there at this point on their 7th studio album, you know, with a group like Kraftwerk. They are that good for mining this turf. You know, almost a quarter century in existence, they have not run out of inspiration. And, you know, despite some breaks, as they say in one song, we never went away.
Mm-hmm.
When the album opens with the City of Angels paying a tribute to Los Angeles, I think it's the best song ever written about Los Angeles. And the whole rest of the album is that good. I'm glad they never went away. I'm glad Ladytron is still with us. And if this was album number one, I think they would have gotten many more accolades. I think we sometimes take for granted groups that have been with us for some time. Mm-hmm. And to sleep on Time's Arrow by Ladytron is a sin. It's just a sin. You need this album in your life. So here's a little bit of We Never Went Away by Ladytron. We Never Went Away by Ladytron from Time's Arrow, my number 9 album of the year. Greg, I think you're starting at number 9, too.
I am indeed, Jim. I love the choice of Ladytron, by the way. That is a great record. You never expect these late-career gems from everybody, but these guys really delivered.
It's true.
My number 9 record, Jim, is from Kalela. Raven is the name of the album. Her first since 2017. We're living in a great time where these kind of very modern-sounding soul records, for lack of a better term, are emerging in bunches. I'm thinking of artists like FKA Twigs, Dawn Richard. SZA ended last year with a great record. My number 10 record this year was the latest from Jamila Woods. Just terrific music.
Mm-hmm.
Kalela belongs in that group and, put out an outstanding record. She's been around. She's only put out a couple of records, but she's now 39 years old, very eclectic career, worked with Damon Albarn, worked with Solange. This new record, in a time when it's all about the single, all about the hit, all about the song that's going to be on somebody's playlist, she's still making albums. And that's what I really love about the Raven album. It works as a whole. It mixes and matches different styles of music. You got electronic music, you got jazz, a little bit of gospel, the slow jams, the drum and bass, UK garage, all elements of that. But it's all very cohesive under the theme of, it's sort of a watery theme in this record. Mm. And it links the songs together, the healing powers of water, but also the immersiveness of the arrangements. I just love this record. It's one of those records I can put on from beginning to end because it totally sinks you into its world. Here's a little bit of a song from it called Contact from Kalela and the Raven album on Sound Opinions. Contact from Kalela from the Raven album, my number 9 album of the year. Let's go to one of our producers next for her pick, Sol Delgadillo. What have you got for us?
I wanted to add a little bit of variety this time around because I feel like all I really listen to outside of our podcast is K-pop. So I chose, I chose Wall Socket by Underscores. It came out in September of this year, and I've listened to Underscores for a while because I was on a really big hyperpop kick this year with my partner. And however, like, I think this album does a good job of going outside of that box, and it can't really be pigeonholed into the hyperpop category. There's also extensive lore around this album, and it's multiple tracks, but April, the person behind the project of Underscores, essentially brings a new take on suburbia and some of the topics that maybe aren't the easiest to digest with her made-up town of Woolsocket, Michigan. Michigan. Yeah.
I love it.
The imaginary town, yeah.
Yeah, and the song that I chose to highlight is a little easier to listen to, and it was one of the first singles to drop, and it's called Locals, parentheses, Girls Like Us. It's really catchy, and it just has some different elements in there that I have yet to hear from an artist that was formerly like in that hyperpop subgenre. And yeah, I just thought it was really cool.
Our hyperpop and K-pop correspondent, yeah. Sol Delgadillo. Let's hear some of this track. I've done the questionnaire like 700 times to get the same response.
wishing you
good luck.
I've done the questionnaire like never in my life.
All right, Underscores. That is a song called Locals, Girls Like Us from the Wall Socket album. Soul edumacating us. I love it. Greg, I'm at number 8 on my list, Margot Price. We are both fans. She first appeared on the show in 2018, 655. We talked to her again in 2022 about her book, Maybe We'll Make It, which was one of that very finite list of excellent musicians' autobiographies that stand as a great book above and beyond just being a musician's account. You know, I never thought that this Midwest farmer's daughter, to borrow the title of the debut that first introduced her to the world from the western border of Illinois, a little town called Aledo, would have spent COVID with her husband and musical partner, Jeremy Ivey, dropping shrooms and listening nonstop to psychedelic music. And the influence comes out on Strays in a big way. Margot Price's fourth album. I love that. Listening to Psychedelia, as I said, and Tom Petty. And lo and behold, who pops up on the record but Mike Campbell from the Heartbreakers, and also a wonderful track that was the single, Radio, with Sharon Van Etten doing a wonderful guest vocal. Mm-hmm. But the song Lydia is about a woman doing one of the most difficult things any human being can do, contemplating what is about to happen in an abortion clinic. It was written before the repeal of Roe v. Wade. And no matter what your stance is on the controversy about a woman's right to choose, to not be able to empathize via this song with the woman in question, I don't know if you're human, if you can't feel what Margot's trying to get us to feel in Lydia. Lydia from Strays by Margot Price.
At the clinic, mom, what your face would be like. Mascara bleeding into my eyes. Tied like a dog on a chain. Midlife crisis and an ex-husband. Sneaking a Marlboro ultralight I stole from the nurse out there in the alley. Halfway home is where the heart is.
Powerful, powerful track, Lydia, from Margot Price's album Strays. I know you like that album, too.
Yeah, she's great. Margot has never put out a bad record anywhere close. I mean, every record is it has something to recommend it, and she keeps stretching herself as an artist. I'm going to go to my number 8 pick, Genesis Owusu, a relatively new artist with an album called Struggler. He is a Ghanaian-Australian singer from Canberra, Australia. Owusu came out with his debut album in 2021. He's got a 5-piece backing band, and I think he expanded the approach in this new record. You know, people would call it experimental because of the way it mixes post-punk rap and R&B. A lot of bands are doing this, but he's doing it in a way that I think is really cool because, A, again, much like the Kalela record, this is a record that is meant to be listened to start to finish around a concept, the concept being resilience in a very difficult time. It sounds silly, but he's writing it from the perspective of the most resilient creature on the planet, a
Keith
cockroach.
Richards? Oh, a cockroach.
Keith is number 2 on that list. You know, roaches got to keep on roaching, as one of the lyrics says. And it sounds silly, but the songs get me hyped. It's just a very uplifting record, despite the somewhat dire subject matter. And this song kicks it off, and once it sets the tone for the whole record, Leaving the Light from Genesis Owusu on Sound Opinions.
Always thought I was living alone. Put my hand up on my heart, I beat my chest. The chaos moving down and down, deep in my flesh. The obstacles won't block my path, I see the test. They can try and swap me down, boy, I'm the pest. Only know what you see from the outside. You can run, God laughs with his mouth wide. I won't die on my knees, throw my hands tied. In the end, it's a roach versus a landslide.
That is Leaving the Light from my number 8 record by Genesis Owusu called Struggler.
Good one. Good one, Greg. We got Max Hatlam, our Columbia College intern, associate producer here. Max, what do you got?
Hey, guys. My album of the year is by an artist that goes by Kixie. The album is Slouch. Juliana Mormile is Kixie in its entirety. They are a 23-year-old musician from the Toronto area. And I believe this is already their 4th album under the name Kixie.
At 23, 4 albums.
I know, yeah. I think one a year so far.
Yeah. We're slackers, Greg.
I hear a lot of different influences, like some early emo, definitely some 2000s pop punk, a little bit of 90s alternative thrown in as well. I think Juliana has a very clear idea of what they want the sound of the band to be. And I think they're just such a talented multi-instrumentalist. I mean, they're playing everything on this record. And it's not one of those bands where all of the instrumentation is in service of the pop hook, in service of the vocals. The guitars are riffing throughout. The drums are propulsive. No one sounds boring on the record. But at the same time, I think it is pretty catchy. I love that they have that creativity and energy of like a young independent band, but as far as I'm concerned, they're writing hooks as well as any big pop producer right now.
Let's dive in, Max. Right, Sinking In is the song by Kixie from Slouch, Max Hatlam's album of the year. When we return, we'll share more of our favorite albums and hear more from our producers. That's coming up on Sound Opinions. Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. You know, every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
They're all good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, you know, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know when you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island, so we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, Lemonade Shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. And we are back. This week, we are sharing our choices for the best albums of 2023. And I'm up next, Greg. It was not as heavy a year as some in the last couple. But still, I needed a sheer injection of joy and energy at times. And when I did, Freddie Ross Jr. was there for me, aka Big Frida. I just love New Orleans-based bounce music. You know, it gets me going. You are the one that talks on occasion about those records that get you dancing around the living room. Yeah. That's what Big Frida does for me. 9 years since Frida's last album. This one is called Central City, kind of a concept album about Frida's beloved New Orleans, right? Love song. song to bounce music. You know, Frida's done a lot, an icon in the LGBTQ plus community, been a reality TV star. Mm-hmm. Big Frida means business. But I'm glad we're finally getting new music. And, you know, it's a testament to how great Frida's vision is that you got guests like Faith Evans and Ciara and Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
Frida owns every note of this album, okay? I'm going to play a track from it. I could go with anything here. I got to go with the song about the drummer because I love drummers. Booty Like a Drummer by Big Frida from Central City.
Motorbike boy popping Willis all summer. A big booty Benz and a booty like a drummer. Motorbike boy popping Willis all summer. A big booty Benz and a booty like a drummer. A booty like a drummer. Booty like a drummer. She got a booty like a drummer. Booty like a drummer. She got a big booty.
Yeah, booty like a drummer. Big Frida bouncing along makes everybody who listens bounce. If anything, gets me dancing.
Yeah.
That's an accomplishment.
Well, it's a central feature of New Orleans music for centuries, right? So it's I'm not surprised at all. Good to see Big Frida back. Number 7 record for me, Mitski, The Land Is Inhospitable, and So Are We.
I think our producers flipped a coin, because Mitski's at number 7 for me, too.
Yeah, well, we both love this record. Mitski's been getting accolades for quite some time now, certainly since she signed with the Dead Oceans label in 2015. She'd make records prior to that. Been pretty consistent, been making some very fine records. I think this is the best one. This just blew me away from the first listen. That first song, right away you're transported, because the daring that is part of this record. I mean, there's an orchestra, a full choir with 17 folks in it, you know, plus a band recording live, you know, kind of giving it this very much lived-in feel despite the, you know, the top-heavy production. But the production doesn't rule the songs. The songs are still the essence of this record. She's a great songwriter. And this is a record where she digs deep into the whole idea of these notions of love and hope and what do they mean anymore. To me, the central theme in this record is not giving up. It's essential to the human condition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are we here? You know, well, one of the reasons we're here is that we don't give up. We keep trying. And, you know, and you go through some sadness as a result of that. Bug Like an Angel, the song, a little bit of the song I'm going to play, has, I think, one of the best lines of the year. Sometimes a drink feels like family. Let's face it, we've all been in various points where we're self-medicating, right?
I mean,
it's kind of like, okay, I need to get through this day. I need this drink, or I need something else.
I need to get through this day. Epidemic, yeah.
Exactly. So it's an eye-openingly jarring and at the same time truthful line. Here's Mitski with Bug Like an Angel from The Land Is Inhospitable and So Are We, number 7 on my list.
Like an angel stuck to the bottom of my glass with a little bit left. As I got older, sometimes a drink feels like family.
That is Mitski with Bug Like an Angel from my number 7 record of the year so far.
It's time to hear from one of our beloved permanent producers for life, Andrew Gill. Andrew, what really got you going this year?
I came across an album by an artist named Joanna Sternberg called I've Got Me. And, you know, the first thing I saw from them was a YouTube visualizer, you know, of one of their songs. And they had done the drawings themselves for this song. And it reminded me so much of Linda Barry, the Linda Barry cartoons, you know.
Yeah.
That came
Evanston-based artist, yeah.
Yeah, our interview with Carly Hartzman of Wednesday. So then I started digging in and I really got hooked on this album. It's got the kind of childlike voice that maybe the Joanna Newsom's first album may have had. It makes you think of maybe Daniel Johnston, but when you read up, Joanna Sternberg actually has a very interesting life. They grew up in Manhattan. They've lived in Manhattan their whole life. Their parents are artists, and they live in artist housing, like where other famous artists have grown up and lived. I was able to see Joanna open for Angel Olsen in Chicago. It was a really great show. There's just a real emotional maturity to these lyrics that sound like they're being performed by a child, but they kind of like take ownership of their own role in all these emotional situations. So it's well worth checking out. Joanna Sternberg, I've Got Me.
I can't stop my worry and my fury of all that I've done wrong. I waste so much time, I mean it, so much time. I've got me in the morning, I've got me in the evening. I'll let you be because I've got me.
Joanna Sternberg, I've Got Me, a good pick from Andrew Gill. Greg, I am now at number 5 on my list, and I can't believe it's been 30 years since you and I were crammed in with 148 other people in front of the stage at Lounge Acts watching Veruca Salt for the first time. I just think Sleepwalker, the latest solo album from Louise Post, is a brilliant album. And if it was released as the debut from a new artist without the background of Anna Veruca Salt, you know, here she is now in the middle of her life. And, you know, Louise is a private person, so she hasn't talked a lot about what was happening in her own life. It's called Sleepwalker because, you know, early on when she was a child, her parents were going through an ugly divorce and she began sleepwalking. Right. As a symptom of that, as an outcome of that, I believe she had a relationship end because this album is all about the stages of angst and regret and anger and finally acceptance during COVID. Right. Mm-hmm. So all of that fuels this, as well as her daughter introduced her to an artist she was excited about, Billie Eilish. Mm-hmm. So we have that classic 90s Veruca Salt or alt rock in general formula of soft and loud and sweet and sour, which Veruca did so well. Yeah. And but we also have a lot of growth and some slower, more introspective balladry. You know, Louise playing most of the instruments herself, guitar, bass, piano, some synthesizers on here, some of that classic, you know, man, she could shred. She always could. Yeah, she was a monster guitarist.
Guitar player, yeah.
You know, and but then also these slower songs. And I'm going to play one of the slower ones because I played the single Guilty when I first talked about this album, and that rocks in the classic 90s way, although sounds as fresh as if it was written yesterday, which it basically was. I'm going to play a song called God I Know, which shows a depth and maturity. As I said, if this was a debut from somebody, I think this album would have been ruling 2023. Louise Post, the record is Sleepwalker. The song is God I Know.
I'm sorry I'm not a better example, a better human, a better hero. I'm sorry I'm not a better example of you. God, I know.
Louise Post, God, I Know. From the album Sleepwalker. You got to listen more to that record, Greg.
You are a champion of Louise Post, and
I am.
I'm there for you, man. That's my number 6 album of the year so far, Jamie Branch, Fly or Die, Fly or Die, Fly or Die, parentheses, World War. Jamie was a one-of-a-kind artist. I mean, we say that about a lot of people, but truly unique in the way she kept reinventing herself and expanding her music, and topped off by the fact that Jamie died at the age of 39 in her apartment in Brooklyn in 2022. her life was cut short, and it was an accidental death. I guess it was an accidental OD, from what I understand. Just a classically trained trumpet player and composer who spent a good chunk of time in Chicago. Got to see her play in different incarnations throughout that period of time. Chicago is noted for its sort of polyglot scene, and Jamie was a big part of that scene. And she brings some of that energy into what actually became her last record, but I think her best record, too. For lack of a better term, I describe it as punk jazz, which basically combines two of my favorite styles of music in a really great way. If you're looking for sort of a band to compare what Jamie Branch is doing on this record, I would go to a band like Antibalas or even the Art Ensemble of Chicago. There's sort of a ramshackle, free-form energy to those, to that music that I really love. And it's all over this record. Really top-notch players, but at the same time, this energy. And then Jamie, on top of it all, is the vocalist on this record.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's, you know, she's incredibly gifted as a jazz instrumentalist, classically trained. But at the same time, those vocals are pure punk rock. I mean, it's like it's a very untrained, raw voice, but there's energy there. And the track I want to play, it's a longer track, but I'll play a little snippet for you called Burning Gray. I wish I had the time. I wish I had the time. I wish I had the time of my life, you know. And it was like, okay, what an amazing sentiment given the circumstances of what happened to her shortly thereafter. And the song also includes the line, "Don't forget to fight." And I think that's the spirit behind this record. Here's a little bit of Burning Gray from Jamie Branch, my number 6 record of the year, Fly or Die times 3 World War. That is Jamie Branch, a great, great artist, gone too soon, but what a record left behind.
I have to thank you for turning me on to this. You pushed to review this, and it was it's a fantastic album. And then the tragedy of learning the way Jamie ended. It was a mixed gift you gave, Greg. It is time to hear Alex Claiborne's. I know what Alex would have had, and I usurped her. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry about that, Alex. But what did you come up with to talk about on the show?
Hey, guys. It's quite all right that both of you, I think this is the first time in many years that many of us have had the same album at the top or towards the top of our lists. But today I want to talk about a record that we haven't talked about all year on Sound Opinions, and that is the album Something to Give Each Other by the Australian artist Troy Sivan. Mm. This album came out in October. It's just 10 songs. And this album is a blend, I would say, of a lot of elements of house music, of pop music. Basically, the reason I like this album is that while some of the lyrics can be melancholy and contemplative, it really is a joyful and exuberant sound across the record. And the song I want to play is Got Me Started, which samples Bag Raiders, which was also an Australian group, their song Shooting Stars from 2009. And I love the synths. I don't mind a little pitched up vocals. Mm. But, you know, there is like a euphoria and a freedom that comes through while listening to this song. That was just, you know, one of the other albums that I really enjoyed this year that we did not talk about on Sound Opinions.
Well, thank you for turning us on to it.
Let's go.
That is a bit of Troy Sivan with Got Me Started, Something to Give Each Other is the album. And I want to thank Andrew, Alex, Sol, and Max for great picks, because you guys always give me something to listen to after you get done with us. So appreciate that very much. When we come back, we're going to reveal the albums that reign supreme in our minds this year. That's coming up on Sound Opinion.
Remember in 2018 when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported those parents back to their home countries, and kept the kids in the United States? Believe it or not, 6 years later, there are still hundreds of families who have not yet been reunited.
Though we as a community may feel hopeless at times, we recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice.
Since 2018, they've reunited over 100 refugee families ripped apart by the zero-tolerance policy of the previous administration. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family find legal representation, housing, and the counseling they need in order to heal and get back on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like us and believe that all families belong together, then join us supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. That's gum.fm/charity.
You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website, alotrolado.org/volunteer.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we are back. This week we're talking about our favorite albums of the year. My number four album, Greg, is Jason Isbell, Weather Vanes. Now I thought, okay, what have I done to help from Jason's 2020 album Reunions? This is such a killer song. In the middle of COVID, in the middle of such a dark time, he's never going to be able to give us better. And yet he consistently does. After several artists that we'll talk about soon on the female side of the equation, you know, this was Jason's year. Mm. A documentary, Running With Our Eyes Closed, right, made by Sam Jones, a really impressive role in some little director, what's his name? Martin Scorsese's, yeah, Killers of the Flower Moon. And then Weather Vanes. What a fantastic album. Miles is the best psychedelic alt country, rip it out jam song since Cortez the Killer by Neil Young, okay? I told him that to his face.
A lot of Neil influence.
There's
there.
A lot of Neil influence there, but Jason is just such a great writer about the difficulties and rewards of being in a relationship. You know, sometimes you're furious and sometimes you're frustrated, and, you know, the same with your loved one as your children. And he's talking about these things that are universal. I don't care whether you're 18 or 78. You know, there are going to be lines here that I hate to talk like an English professor, although I am, that just resonate with you. But the music is gorgeous as well. In the same way that Margot Price's Lydia had a resonance in 2023 that I wish it didn't. You know, I think Save the World by Jason Isbell, about contemplating all the feelings that come hearing about the latest school shooting. The fury, the anger, the wanting to lock your daughter up in the house and never let her outside, because what the hell could happen out there, right? All of these feelings, and then the questions, why? Why does this keep happening? One of many great songs on Weather Vanes. Jason Isbell, Save the World. Save the World by Jason Isbell. Not preachy. Wondering what the hell we have to do to make that happen.
Yeah, no kidding. That Running With Our Eyes Closed documentary, that was just staggeringly
powerful.
Amazing.
Also, you know, it gave me a little hope because he was a fat young nerd as a kid, too. And I'm like, oh, maybe someday I'll get to be half a millionth as cool as Jason Isbell.
There's a lot of stories of reinvention going on, let me tell you. Young Fathers is a group that I've been paying attention to for a while, and we haven't given them enough love on Sound Opinions. Well, I'm going to change that today. Heavy is my number four album of the year. It's this biracial Scottish trio that has been around for over a decade. This is only their fourth studio album in that time, but each of those albums I can highly recommend. And if you're looking for a place to start, the new one is as good as any. One of the things they've done is they've sort of made themselves a little easier to understand. They were so all over the map early on that people had a tough time figuring out, well, what are they trying to do here? That's not necessarily a weakness in my book, but I can understand where people had difficulty processing the music. Now they're writing a little bit more concisely, a little more tightly constructed in terms of the songs. There's a little bit more pop accessibility here, but they're still jumping into all these genres, everything from electronic to metal. You can hear references there. The lyrics are pretty poetic again. There's more of a textural quality to what they're doing with the vocals rather than a coherent narrative. But it's all about the rush of those tunes back to back. And again, one of those records that's incredibly uplifting just to listen to. You know, you've got a song like I Saw, which features these skittish drums and this big bass line. And you're just kind of like, wow,
you know, yeah, yeah.
Give me more of that.
Yeah.
And you've got an entire album in that vein. I'm going to play another song from that album that I love to death. I just play it constantly. And it's about the, you know, the whole, again, this theme of let's keep pushing. Let's not let the, you know, the jerks get us down, you know. Here's a track called Drum from Young Fathers from the Heavy record on Sound Opinions.
Hear the beat of the drums and go now. Have fun.
Number four album of the year for me from Young Fathers. Heavy is the name of the album.
Well, that puts me at number three, Greg, and I'm going with Nothing's Gonna Stand in My Way Again by Lydia Loveless. We have been fans of Lydia almost since the beginning. Performed on the show. We got to chat way back in 2012, okay? And has not made a bad record since. That stands for number five. You know, Lydia starts out in the beginning, you know, basically 18, making all the mistakes that a talented, precocious, artistic-leaning teen can make. A lot of songs about debauchery and drinking and snorting and you name it, right? It is an older, wiser Lydia, more secure in who they are now. And the things that have sustained them throughout this career is this razor sharp wit and a super courageous, I will share anything and everything happening in my life with you because maybe you're there too, or you've been there, or I'd you know, like to give you some advice not to go there. I don't like to run. I just like to run away. In an album full of great, great lines and fantastic melodies, Runaway is the track I'm going to play because I never thought, you know, even over the previous four albums and seeing Lydia Lovelace live, I'd hear Lydia with a mellotron. You know, the sound evolves. The voice is one of the best in the alt indie underground, whatever you want to call it. And those hits just keep on coming. Runaway by Lydia Lovelace from the album Nothing's Gonna Stand in My Way Again. Lydia Lovelace, Nothing's Gonna Stand in My Way Again, my number four album of the year. I know you were super fond of it as well.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, they are one of the most important songwriters of the last decade plus. There's just simply no doubt about it. And I don't think Lydia Lovelace gets enough credit along those lines. Those records aren't huge sellers, but constantly reinventing what they do album to album. And that's a tough thing to pull off. But the songs are always there. Number three album of 2023 for me was the Billy Woods and Kenny Siegel record. I've been talking about this record since it came out. I love it so much, called Maps. It's the 12th studio album from Billy Woods. Talk about a guy who deserves more credit than he actually gets. He's been around for several decades now.
That's a recurring theme on both of our lists.
I'm telling you. He, you know, as an MC, I don't think there's anybody better out there. And he's found a simpatico partner. Not that he hasn't had great collaborations in the past, but working with this L.A.-based producer, Kenny Siegel, that there's some magic there. The record that they put out a couple of years ago, 2019 actually, Hiding Places, was a very dark record. This has more of a sunnier disposition, at least sound-wise. It's still kind of about those waves of sound. The soundtrack kind of reminds me of, like, you're looking out a bus window, right, and you're seeing the passing scenery going by, which is suitable because really it's a record about going on the road. And you go, oh, you know, a road album, what a cliche, right? He's a little more famous, he's touring more, he's seeing the world. That's a record about that. How boring. Actually, it's not. It's about his relationship with New York, his hometown, and what he's giving up in order to go on tour. What am I missing? Why am I missing it? Am I doing the right thing? Questioning those kind of things. It's about relationships at the heart of it. And, you know, as a road album, it has way more resonance than that would apply. Usually for a road album from a lot of artists is just sort of like a cliche. Like, okay, I got nothing to talk about. I'm just going to talk about touring, man.
The highway.
This is not that record. The name of the record is Maps, and the track I'm going to play is FaceTime from Billy Woods and Kenny Siegel on Sound Opinion.
Something fell off before I even left. So when I saw the missed calls, I knew it was next. Didn't have to open the text. Stupid prizes, couples therapy on Zoom. It's a train wreck. My evil eye ward off hex, though. FaceTime declined. I'm trying to live in the moment like death row. The sun set in the desert. Red glow, redness in the west. I sip Mexico's best slow. Mezcal Negroni. Sitting atop the corral, smoking, watching unbroken wild ponies run wild at sundown. Only the lonely big tree like a sundown.
Number three album of the year for me, Jim. Billy Woods and Kenny Siegel, Maps.
A great choice, Greg.
All right, Jim, we're down to the finish line. Our number one albums of the year. What's your choice?
Look, no two ways about it. Taylor Swift owned 2023, but second only to Taylor, you know, is it was Boy Genius's year.
Yeah.
Wow. The level of excitement. I told Alex, now you know what it was like to interview Nirvana early on, an experience both of us had. Because they are a band. I don't want to hear this super group nonsense anymore. Because both the record, the formal debut album by Julian Baker, Phoebe Bridgers, and Lucy Dacus, and then the EP, the surprise EP that followed just a couple of weeks ago, really, The Rest, the record and The Rest, I see them as a twofer, although both stand on their own, you know, show me what a great band is. You know, it is a collection of people who enhance each other's talents. So the three members, Julian Baker, Phoebe Bridgers, Lucy Dacus, are all either 28 or 29. Mm. To me, the record is about being 22. I remember what it was like to be 22. You know, what life experiences I have in common with Julian and Phoebe and Lucy. Well, I was a human being who was once 22, okay? Mm. And I just think this is a beautiful record. The record about that. You know, when you don't know who you are, you mess around and find out. Mm. Who among us hasn't been there? And who in the history of popular music has given that particular feeling and time in one's life a better voice than Boy Genius does? I'm going to play a song I could play. I just asked Alex, who had this experience with me, and that would have been her number one album, too. What do we play? And she said, you could play every song on the record. We could. We really could. I'm going to play Satanist by Boy Genius from the record. But don't forget the Rest EP either. All right, Boy Genius. What a great... I hope they continue as a band.
So that was my number two record of the year. It was a heavy contention for number one.
I know. I got to give it to you. I wasn't going to do it for myself, but the traditional Jim on the table.
Yeah.
Greg Codd at number one with the drum roll.
Well, for me, Wednesday, Rats Are God. You know,
that was my number two.
Carly Hartzman, same category as Lydia Loveless. It's about time. What a songwriter she is to get and get recognized for that. The band has made 5 albums so far. This is the best of the bunch. And that's no small praise because the earlier ones are pretty darn good as well. But the density of that guitar sound they get.
Yeah.
Very shoegaze, right? Combined with the literate lyrics. You know, Carly talked about that when she was on the show earlier this year, that, you know, she wanted to take that sound and put some narrative substance into it, you know?
Yeah, because what was My Bloody Valentine singing about?
It was really...
who knows?
The voice was just another texture.
Right.
But Carly's got this very southern, kind of this wobbly, warbly voice that can be confrontational, it can be confiding, it can be scary.
Mm-hmm.
There's a folk element there, like, you know, a person sitting on their back porch singing these folk songs to, and yet it's in the context of these big guitars. And the lyrics that, you know, rival some great literature that you may have read, you know. I compared her to Deanne Arbus, the great photographer, for the way she was portraying these marginalized folks that she grew up around in the South in these songs.
Mm-hmm.
The level of detail that she brings to her description, and combined with those songs that crescendo, it's a band that's becoming truly... one of a kind in the way it's approaching the sound combined with what she's singing about. The two things go hand in hand, and it's great to see a working band evolving like that. Rats Are God is a great title for the album, too.
Yeah, it's true.
We can find the divine in the worst of places, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Here is a track from that album, Quarry, Rats Are God by Wednesday, my number one album of the year.
The rain rotted house. Thank you.
Okay, that is it, man. Rat Song God, number one for me.
Number two for me, number one for you, and you were number two with Boy Genius. I was number one. We didn't plan it that way. It just worked out. All of our top 20 for you and me are going to be available on soundopinions.org, where we'd also love to hear from you. What was your album of the year and why? Mr. Cott, what is on the show next week?
Well, another big one, Jim. We've got our very own Kris Kringle, Andy Serzan, stopping in to play some of the weirdest holiday music you've ever heard. His Holiday Spectacular is a must listen if you are in seasonal mode at all, or even if you're not.
Especially
this is the alternative,
if you're not, I would say. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And do not forget to check out our bonus podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this program belong solely to Sound Opinions and not necessarily to Columbia College Chicago or our sponsors. Thanks, as always, to our Patreon supporters. Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne, and our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo. Our Columbia College intern is Max Hatlam, and our social media consultant is Katie Cott.